Our guest today is Gary Sarek. He's a 40-year veteran of the financial services industry and the owner of Sarek Financial Services in Canton, Ohio. He has worked with hundreds of clients, advising and preparing them for the financial side of retirement. Listening to their stories and experiences, he realized retirement is not just about the financial side of things. His book, How to Retire and Not Die, offers real-life plans, tips, and answers for anyone who is planning their retirement, close to retirement, already retired, or helping a family member or a friend through this important stage of life. Gary is the author of three books. He's been a guest on over 50 nationally syndicated radio shows. He's a frequent podcast guest and a featured speaker at numerous industry events. And it's a pleasure to have you listening to my show today. My sincerest desire is for you to get something from it that will make your life richer, fuller, and safer. My name is Reverend Wynn Henderson. As an ordained Christian minister and a retired medical doctor, I have a dual perspective to bring you content to solve problems in your life. This podcast is the longest-running, single-hosted, spiritually-based radio internet talk show in America. It's been on the air for over 20 years. I bring you information about the disease of addiction, your purpose in life, and investigative reporting on truth just below the surface. And now let's find out how to retire and not die. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Wynn. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well,
I feel honored.
Thank you. I retired in 90, and so I've been retired for a few years now. And I didn't have the advice from your book, which I would have liked to have had back 20-something years ago. However, we're going to give it to our listeners today. And let's start by asking, when is the right time to retire?
Great question, because and the answer varies for everybody. I always thought that retirement, it was wired into our system at 65. But what I realize, there's a lot of people I come in contact with that are working into their 80s, and they're very active and very happy. And I've got some clients of mine that are in their 50s who decided they don't really want to do what they're doing anymore. They were financially solid. They switched jobs and went into something else, or they went into partial retirement. And it's such a it could be anything. It's a smorgasbord. It's just what do you want to pick, and what time, and what are your criteria?
So you discuss this in your book.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I'm a big fan. I am a huge fan of retiring to something and not from something. And I have a real problem when people retire from something and don't really have a purpose, a passion, a plan. I think that's a bad setup. And so what I really try and encourage the people I work with is to make sure they're retiring to something, and that could be a part-time job. It could be staying and doing what they're doing, just not as many hours. It could be working at Starbucks. It just doesn't matter to me. It could be charitable. All I want is for sure they have something to do and they have some structure in their life.
Well, the way I answer this question is, I'm going to retire when they put me in the coffin.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I might not be working for somebody, making a paycheck, but I'm doing something that's important for other people to try to help them out of their situation in life. And if you do that, you're never retired. And if you don't retire, you skip one of the bad side effects of retiring. Did you know, Gary, that the year following a middle-aged man's retirement is the highest year of suicide in his life?
I am so not surprised. I'm very aware that there's a huge death side of a year after retirement. I've seen it with clients. I've seen it with friends. And they just have not figured it out. But I am not surprised at that at all. That whole idea, the concept of being bored to death, there's reality behind those words. It wasn't just something to say, oh, I'm sitting around not doing anything. No, bored to death is that's a real issue.
Well, so if you don't want to die young, especially from suicide, my suggestion is don't retire, or at least don't retire by going into the office, but have something, like you said, that you plan for that you're going to retire to, something that's going to take the place of going to work every day.
Now, absolutely agree, 100%.
What if retirement turns out not to be right for the person? Do they go back? What do they do?
I'm a big fan of starting over, and so I have a great story that I tell. And a friend of mine retired and realized that he didn't really have anything to do, and he and his wife got along okay, but not quite so okay when they're together too much. So he became an Uber driver. And he was a good fit for this because he's personable, he likes to talk to people, and he has a nice car, and he had a lot of time on his hands. So he started driving actually people to the hospital. That was his big thing. He specialized in taking people to various hospitals. And he was able to create a nice setup for himself that he had something to do, somewhere to go. And he's a great example. He retired with thinking he was just going to play golf and do whatever he was going to do, and he just couldn't do that. And so he said, I have to go find something to do that gives me purpose. And what he thought about with driving people to the hospital is that he was helping people in a way that he had never really done before, but he felt very good about that.
Well, that's a good story, Gary. I came to realize as a medical doctor that hospitals are dangerous places. More people die in hospitals than anywhere else. So if you can stay out of a hospital, do so. That's my advice.
Yeah, I vote for that also. We're on the same page on that one for sure. I've had way more stories. One of my businesses, a life insurance business, and I can't begin to tell you how many claims I had for people who went in for something that appeared to be innocent and never got out. And I thought to myself, whoa, this is a dangerous place to be.
Yeah, and that's so significant these days with the coronavirus, a virus that by itself kills less than 1% of the patients, but if you go into the hospital, the death rate climbs tremendously, especially if you let them intubate you. But that's a different story and a different show. Let's talk about, you said retirement is not all about the money. Explain that.
Well, it's very, and it's logical. People come to me pre-retirement. They may start coming at age 50, age 55, age 60, it doesn't matter the age, but everyone is wired into money, and they all think retirement is all about dollars and cents and cash and how much they're going to get each month and what their Social Security and their 401k. And they're right up to a point, but that's math, and math is, I tell people it's kind of simple. In one way, if you don't have enough money to survive, you need to keep working. And if you have more money at the end of the day than what you spend, then you have a good chance to retire. And I said, it really is that way. I mean, if you don't have enough cash, you can't retire. It's simple. But what I found is that they thought that was all they had to think about. And that's where it got very different. And so what I started doing is asking a very simple question: what's next in your life? And they would look at me a little kind of not sure what I was talking about, and I'd say, okay, tell me what your first day of retirement is, your first week, your first month, your first year. I want to know what you're going to do with your time, which, by the way, has been structured for over 40, 50 years that is no longer structured. And by the way, you no longer have 2 days off. You have 7 days off. What are you going to do? And then I'm very quiet, and I wait for them to answer. And I would say 9 out of 10 don't have an answer.
I haven't thought about it.
Haven't thought about it. that never really entered their mind. They said, well, I'm going to play golf. I said, you can't play golf. I live in Canton, Ohio. You don't play golf in December and January and February. You have to have something else to do. So it's I can't tell how many people say, oh, I'm going to play golf when I'm retired. Well, that didn't really work out. Another guy said, I'm going to buy a camper and travel the country. Well, that didn't work out either. So lots of people try things, but I don't think they really spend any time really planning out what's going to make them happy and what's going to give them satisfaction, just like what you do. I mean, there's no way in the world that you're not providing a great value to the world. I mean, that's just the way the space you've put yourself into. It's the space I've put myself into. I could have retired years ago, but I really like helping other people, and I feel like I add value.
Exactly. You briefly talked about money, and I want to digress just for a second. Our economic system in the country is getting way out of hand, and lots of people that are smarter than me say that you should start planning for when the economy breaks. And so I have decided to take all of my fiat-based money, that's anything that's based on the dollar, and change it into something that is asset-based, like gold and silver. What do you think about that kind of advice for the average man on the street?
I'm a huge fan of gold and silver for really two reasons. I think artistically, if you have gold coins and silver coins, they're pretty. And I mean that literally. I like looking at the coins. I think Cougarans, I've seen some beautiful, beautiful artwork on those coins. So there's that side of it, which is artistic. The other side of it, from a practical standpoint, I think it's just a great base to have. I look at gold and silver and think that's a good asset class to own. And I have other asset classes I like, but I clearly like gold and silver as an asset class. I think there's some logic behind it. It's worked for me throughout my life. And I have no issue doing that whatsoever. I do follow Ben Franklin, everything in moderation. I try not to get too carried away with anything I do. So I try and break these things out into segments that I consider to be as stable as they can be in a place that isn't stable at all.
Somebody advised me the other day that he thought it would be good to have at least 10% of your money, quote, whatever it is, in gold and silver. Does that sound like a good yardstick?
Yeah, that's maybe 5% less than I was going to say. If you asked me flat out, I'd say 15. Yeah, I'm good at 15%. I feel pretty comfortable with that number. 10's a good number. It's a great starting point, and it's a great place to be. I have no qualms about that whatsoever. I think if you're in either of those positions, you're in a much more stable place than people even realize.
Let's talk about the most important thing in this interview. Let's discover the three P's: passion, purpose, and planning. Take us on a journey there.
Well, the three P's popped up because of a story that happened to me early in my career with my father. A high school friend of his, he and his wife owned this really successful business. It was a manufacturing business, and they happened to build parts for cars, and the part they built was patented, and they controlled literally all three car companies bought from them. So they became very wealthy. He sold his company for literally a boatload of money. We went to this lunch at his private house that was kind of like a private club. It was amazing food, Italian, some of the best I've ever had in my life. And this man had sold his company for millions and millions, and this is early in the 80s. And at the end of the deal, my dad and I got back in the car, and I asked my dad, I said, well, that was great. And my dad said, no, it wasn't. I said, why not? He said, well, he lacks a purpose, he lacks passion, and he doesn't have a plan. I said, well, he's got $10 million. I said, he's got enough time to figure that out. He said, no, he doesn't. He said, Gary, he's worked his whole life. That's all he's ever done. And he needs to figure this out. So that really turned me, by the way, that gentleman passed away within literally 2 years. He never could figure it out. And so that really put me on the path of purpose, passion, and a plan. So my view of purpose is that purpose is what you do for someone else. And that, I think, is incredibly important. Passion is what I do for myself. It's the things I do for Gary. And I have a whole list of those in my book of what I'm passionate about. And what the planning part is, you can have purpose, passion, but if you don't have a game plan, if you don't know what you're doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're in trouble. So you've got to have a plan to execute. You've got to take action. And that's really the core of my book. I mean, there's lots of ways we get there, but those are the three concepts that make the biggest difference.
Well, I'm a bigger believer in purpose than probably most people that you've come across, because I think that knowing what your purpose is, your destiny, if you will, and then trying to fulfill it on a daily basis will bring you the best life that you possibly could have. And so that you ought to figure out how to figure out what your purpose is, and getting your book will help them with that. So I applaud your writing on purpose.
Thank you. And, appreciate that.
Yeah, and of
course. And I, what I tried to do is just give them guidelines on how to really figure that out, and it's not an easy thing to do, but boy, it's so rewarding once you land there. I figured mine out years ago, and it took some doing, and it took some time, and a lot of patience. But once I discovered what really makes me happy, it's easy to get up in the morning and go do the things that I'm doing, because I know that, you know, there's something on the back end. And it's a place that I'm very glad to be in. I consider myself incredibly lucky.
If you're out there and you're saying, well, I would like to know what my purpose is, but I don't know how to figure it out, what my advice to you would be is get a copy of my current book, Freedom from Addiction 3, and it's going to be replaced by Freedom from Addiction 4, The Final Message, in just a week or two. But this one's already at Amazon. And there's a segment in there that tells you how to find out what your purpose is. Because if you know what your purpose for creation is, and you will follow that, you'll have the best life that you possibly could have. Okay, so what does a perfect retirement look like? And I guess it's different from every person or whatever. How do you talk about a perfect retirement in your book?
Well, I look at perfect retirement as literally, you hit it right in the head. Everyone has their own version of a perfect retirement. I mean, my retirement, my semi-retirement or partially retired, is I come to work at 9:30 and at 3:30 I'm out of here. And if I don't feel like going in today, I don't go in, because I can do that. And that gives me a lot of freedom and a lot of satisfaction, because I'm doing something that I think is important and makes me happy and helps a lot of people. And so that's my view of retirement. I have a gentleman who recently retired, and his idea is that he's going to follow the New York Yankees around the country and watch them play baseball. And that is what he's going to do for his first year of retirement. And he has been saving up and planning this. In his mind, that is a perfect retirement. To me, that would be painful. But when you talk to him, you've never seen anybody light up more. It's really kind of fun to be with him, because he gets the biggest smile on his face. He walks in with his Yankees cap, and he's just happy to be doing that and in a position. So I have another gentleman who just recently retired, and he was out for about a month and a half, and a guy that he had done business with him called him up and said, you know, what are you doing? He said, oh, not much. He said, well, how would you like to consult? And he said, well, tell me what that would look like. And he explained it to him, and he called me up and said, Gary, what do you think? And I said, I think it's a great idea. I said, you get to work on your own time frame, and they're going to send you checks for doing what you already know how to do. Then I have people that absolutely – I have a physician that retired last summer. And he retired after he's age 73. He finally quit doing surgeries. And we sat in my conference room and talked about what retirement would look like. And he said, Gary, I'm going to play golf. And I said, okay, everybody says that. Excuse me. He said, yeah, but I mean it. And I'll be darned, he played 3 times a week. And actually, he went from being a terrible golfer to a pretty good golfer in one summer. And then winter hits, and I asked him what he's going to do. And he said, well, I've taken up bowling. And I said, have you ever bowled? He said, yeah, when I was a kid. I said, well, that was a few weeks ago. And he laughed. And sure enough, he's in a bowling league now. He goes 3 days a week and bowls. So everybody has their own kind of spin, what makes them happy.
Exactly. So, Gary, tell the audience how to get a copy of your book and how to contact you and any other ideas that you have on promoting.
Okay. I will mention one thing that I think is really cool. For people who are looking to retire, have them look for a retirement mentor, someone who's got this figured out, someone they know, trust, and like, and ask them how they did it. That will save them a lot of grief and a lot of stress if they can talk to someone who's already been down that path. And I think that's been really helpful. If I had one follow-up tip, that would be it. My book is available on Amazon. My website is Gary Sirak, that's S-I-R-A-K, at gmail.com is how you reach me, and it's GarySirak.com if someone wants to reach out on my website or my personal.
Oh, that's great.
And, yeah, and as far as thinking about retirement, I love how you retired.
Yeah, but I'm working more hours now than I did 20 years ago.
Yeah, but the satisfaction's got to be pretty impressive, I think.
But like you said, if I don't want to work, I don't work. If I'm feeling like it, I have a show. And in the meantime, I prepare for it. And so it's just a great life for me. You hear that?
Nope.
Telephone ringing in the background?
Yes.
That's probably either somebody trying to get in touch with me or a scammer trying to sell me something. But I just got rid of them.
Okay.
You know, these days, your telephone rings all the time. Okay, so did we cover all the points you wanted to cover?
Yeah, I think so. The only other one I might throw in is I do a little exercise in a book about likes, loves, and hates. And the reason I do that is because I want people to really write down all the stuff they don't like doing and that they're doing. And then when they're retired, I say, well, why would you do something you hate when you're retired? And I'll give you a great example. A friend of mine, he can't stand cutting grass. He just doesn't enjoy it. And he cuts grass, and he complains about it all the time, and he's retired now, and he has enough money. And I said, okay. I said, why are you cutting the grass? He said, well, who's going to cut it? I said, well, there's plenty of people to cut. He said, well, I own a lawnmower. I said, well, let's solve that problem. He said, how? I said, let's sell your lawnmower. So he sold his lawnmower, and now he hires someone to cut the grass. And I saw him not long ago, and he said, boy, that was a really good idea. And I said, well, okay, thanks. Sometimes it's just the simple stuff. I guess that's what I would leave. You know, looking at stuff you just don't like doing, it's the simple things. Get rid of those and do the stuff that makes you happy.
Well, that's what retirement is all about, I think. And so, Gary, thank you so much for being on the show today and helping our audience with their retirement plans. And the book is called How to Retire and Not Die, The 3 P's That Will Keep You Young. And Gary told you how to get a copy. You can get it off of Amazon. My mission or purpose in life is to spread the message that there is a cure for every addictive behavior. And this is a spiritual cure, and the treatment program is profiled in my book, Freedom from Addiction 3, and will be profiled in my book next month, Freedom from Addiction 4, the final message. If you meet 3 simple requirements, everyone gets well from their addiction. I have 3 free resources where you can start your journey. The first is a link to this podcast, www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. is spelled Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N, no spaces, no capitals. And this podcast is good for everybody, and of course it's free. So tell all your friends, neighbors, family, and business associates to go over and check out freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. The second is a link to my website where you can find out more about my work with addiction. It's www.revwynhendersonmd.com. No spaces in that. And the final resource is my Twitter account. Search at HugoTheArtist on Twitter.com. There you will find inspirational and educational daily pearls of wisdom. And once again, Gary, thanks for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. And I do feel honored being on your show.